Okay, welcome back, Double J. Weekend review, midweek review, weekend preview. Another three in one for you. It's the same thing that Jace uses in the shower. Three in one, body wash, conditioner, and shampoo. He's shaking his head yes. So that means he agrees. We're gonna get into all the games that happened last weekend. North London Derby happened last weekend. That feels like a year ago from when we were recording. Tottenham lost to Chelsea, so two L's in 1 week, less than a week, to rivals in London. We'll get into the rest of these games, preview the weekend, and then also have a special segment that we are going to continue try and test out for the end of the season and continue into next year. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, welcome back. Double J weekend review is where we're starting out this portion of the episode. North London Derby. Arsenal 3, Tottenham 2. This Tottenham team didn't show up to a rivalry game, which is genuinely impressive, and we're going to get into it here in a minute. But we'll go ahead and say it. They didn't show up to two straight rivalry games, Jace. How do you just not show up?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought they played well in the first half of this game. And
First
then
20
not great in
minutes
the
for me.
second half, which was just so weird because
They scored two
Spurs, I
goals.
thought, were the better team in the first half. Arsenal scored three. I thought Arsenal were the better team in the second half. Spurs scored two. It was a very strange game. But yeah, Spurs just cannot be conceding goals like they conceded. Third straight North London derby that Saka gets an own goal assist. None will be funnier than the Hugo Lloris one. From a year and a
Nope.
half ago, that one was
Yep, that
freaking
was good.
hilarious.
That was good.
But this one wasn't much better from Højbjerg. Just bullet header into the back of the net. The second goal is what I think Ainge has to fix overall. If he ever wants to take this team to the next level, I mean, Rice wins the ball on the edge of the box, plays it to Saka, who hits it to Havertz, and Saka just takes off running.
Yeah.
Havertz picks his head up, finds the pass. And it's Saka one-on-one with Ben Davies. He's going to win that 9 times out of 10. So those kind of goals, they've conceded 24 goals now in 2024, counting the Chelsea game today. Like, as much as their defenders get hyped up, and as much as I think Romero and Van de Ven are solid center backs, their defense sucks.
Dude,
They
it's
leak goals. Third most set piece goals conceded in the league. I mean, this game, Kulusevski said it afterwards. Arsenal were just more mature and clinical. I mean, two set piece goals and a counterattack. Like,
Yeah.
and that's all it took, and it's 3-0.
And
Like,
I think we've been talking about this, or I think I brought it up a couple of weeks ago. Their fullbacks get so advanced, and then their midfield likes to be in the attack too, as kind of the anchor of the attack, but they're not anchoring the defense. The gaps that the fullbacks are leaving are still wide open, and you see that. You see that wingers have an advantage against this Spurs side. You see that the wingers are able to get at Van de Ven and Romero. You watch Anthony Gordon, you watch Isak run into the channels because he knows that's where the space is and he's comfortable out there. I don't think that is shocking to any Spurs fan watching them their team, specifically the second half of the season. The space is where they leave it. They give you space. And elite teams that can pick passes like Arsenal, Newcastle are up there, especially when they're at home, but they have those people that can pick a pass. And also, if you give them that much space and allow them to run into the channel, they're going to be able to be found. There's too many gaps in their defense.
yeah, I mean, it's just too easy. And Ainge has been praised over and over and over for his style of play. And sure, it's fun to watch. It means they're not out of any game, as I know these were two mistakes that gave them goals. But still, you know, they can convince themselves they're not out of any game. And they do have more fight back than they've had in the past. But you're not going to get anywhere conceding this amount of goals.
And I think they were
I mean, you look
fine
at
for the.
Arsenal conceded 8, I think, in 2024. And they're
Yeah.
20 plus. Like,
It's
you're just
insane.
not even close. I guarantee City don't have more than 15 conceded. Like, it's just, if you're going to lead goals like this, one, I mean, they're going to have to upgrade at fullback and get someone that's better at defense.
Or just go to a back
Because
five.
I just don't think he's going to play a back five. But like, this style was awesome in the Scottish Premier League because the attackers aren't this good.
And you don't
And
have
you
people that can
overwhelm the
pick that
defenses with
pass.
numbers in that league, and you know you're going to have an advantage,
Yep.
and the counterattacks just going to be aren't going to be as crisp and clean, and you're not going to run into situations like this. But in the Premier League, with these players, and it's not just Arsenal. Palace could do this with Elise Iheanacho.
Yeah.
Bournemouth could do this with Iraola. These kind of things aren't just happening against big teams. They're just conceding goals, and I don't even know what I don't know what the fix is personally, but I think he needs to rein in the fullbacks a little bit would be my guess, and keep the midfield, at least one of the midfielders, closer to the back four. And counterattacks happen against everyone. The second goal happens when it happens. My issue with it is, it's one ball from Havertz and Saka's one-on-one with Ben freaking Davies.
They have one win against a team in the top half of the table this calendar year.
They're just beating up
It's
the little guys. They've thrown away top four pretty much at this point. They're gonna spread their legs for City, I'm sure, because they're a bunch of freaking losers. But
I saw some.
I don't think Ainge is a loser like a lot of their fans want to be, and some of their players are.
Yeah, we're not doing tweets of the week this week. But if we were doing tweets of the week, a Tottenham fan saying, "Let's play the kids against City," that I found would have been on tweets of the week.
Yeah, and that is another thing that's on Ainge to change. These guys, I get you don't want your rival to win. I obviously was cheering extremely hard against Spurs in that Champions League final, but and this is different. It's obviously it's not a one-off, but
Right.
I know that I just said they've thrown away top four. They're not mathematically out of it. Villa could stumble. We've seen Unai do it before at Arsenal, so it's not the craziest thing in the world. It's just funny that their fans would rather throw away top four completely than Arsenal win the league. Throw away how much money you get for the Champions League, how much better your team can get, and maybe you can actually start competing with the top three just so your rival doesn't win the league. I don't know,
Yeah,
but
it's wild.
I just think it's a complete loser mentality by them. I guess getting to these mistakes real quick. Raya, just dumb mistake. It happens. Hit Romero right in the chest. Nice finish from Romero. And then Declan Rice was hilarious. Michael Oliver is such a freaking idiot. Standing like 5 yards away, staring at it. Rice is looking for the ball, doesn't see Ben Davies, I believe it was, hit it first and just punts him. And Michael Oliver is just staring at it. And he's like, nope, no
No.
pen. Obviously, VAR got it right. They reversed it. But after watching Clement Turpin in the Champions League midweek for Bayern Real Madrid get every big call correct on the field and not have VAR come bail him out. It's just laughable watching these English refs after watching an elite ref actually do his job, do it right, and not rely on VAR to freaking call everything.
Yeah, the thing is about the mistakes, it also a 3-2 game. I'm sure a lot of people, if you didn't watch the game or didn't catch it, are listening to me say they didn't show up and be like, well, they scored 2 goals. Arsenal spoon fed them 2 goals. And I think they were fine for the first 20 minutes. I think they were fine in the second half. I'm not going to go as far as great. And I'm with Jace. I do think Ainge needs to kick some of this culture that Spurs have out of the club. But at the same time, when you start Pierre-Emile Højbjerg in a North London derby, you know you have better options on the bench in Sar and Bissouma. You kind of lose it. Ben Davies against Saka should never be an option for you. Like, do anything else. Play Roy Emerson as a right-footed left back, play Van de Ven at left back and bring in Dragosin. Do anything other than that. Ben Davies is going
I
to get
think they might
cooked.
have been hate starts. I kind of get what he was doing. Davies and Højbjerg have been there longer than most. They might have been hate starts.
What do you mean by hate starts?
Like, these guys hate Arsenal so much, they're gonna want to
Yeah,
win. But
but that
that only
doesn't
gets
work
you
when,
so far. You gotta be talented too. You actually have to be good.
yeah, you have to be good to go one-on-one against Saka for 90 minutes. You have to be good to be in a midfield against Partey, Rice, Odegaard, and then Havertz kind of sneaking anywhere behind you. Like, you have to be elite, and I don't think Højbjerg and Ben Davies are elite. And I love Ben Davies.
I would agree with that. I think Thomas has been great. That's only his sixth start of the season. It's just such a damn shame that he's never been able to stay fit for Arsenal. It sucks, but God, the midfield is so much better when he's in there. He just loves one-touch passes. He's so athletic.
Yeah.
He's getting back up to speed too. His pace doesn't look as bad as it did a few weeks ago. And then Kai Havertz, man,
Beast.
as a number nine, his last 11 games, 9 goals and 4 assists. And I think only one of those was in midfield, the Villa game, which obviously was a loss. And we talked about the mistake Mikel made at the time, after that game. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really, really, really pleased with Kai Havertz. Was he worth 65 million? I don't know, but I don't care. Like,
Not your money.
Lord Kroenke has plenty of money. We got plenty of homegrown kids to sell in the summer. It's not FFP is not going to come catch up. Like, it is what it is. He's scoring goals in the business end of the season. And I mean, up to 13 on the year in the Premier League, only one penalty. And I mean, I just could not be more pleased with the Havertz signing. I think everyone really likes him. And I mean, we said it at the time. He was never going to be good in a terrible team, an unorganized team, a team that didn't have any identity. But he's fit in well at Arsenal. And yeah, I'm liking it. And there's no coincidence that this week there's been rumors about Gabby Jesus going on the market. So.
Yeah, I have two questions for you. Dose, get ready, prepare yourself. Kai Havertz, Arsenal, and I think a lot of people around the club and reporters are saying that striker is going to be a key position that Arsenal are going to look at this summer. One, I do think Gabriel Jesus is gone. He had a great first 2 months, sick. Past that, injury prone, I think, has been the problem. He's too
Yeah,
injury
and
prone.
you got to like think Havertz is only 6 goals behind him in his Arsenal career.
Oh gosh, that's a
In
bad stat.
not even one full season.
That's a bad stat.
And I mean it all went to hell when Tite took him to the World Cup and he already had a knee injury, made it
Yeah.
worse, had to get surgery, and his knee hasn't been the same. He still has pain in it. It wouldn't shock me if he has to get surgery again this summer.
Actually,
So,
I have three questions, by the way.
yeah.
Updated part two. Did you watch the documentary about Gabriel Jesus's recovery?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I forgot they did that. I think I watched a little bit of the
Yeah.
first one and I was just like, ah, yeah. This is something. But yeah, I mean, like with the spending cap coming in 25, 26, you
Yeah.
can't have a squad player on 265K a week.
You think
Like,
that spending cap's actually going to happen?
yeah, I think it'll happen.
Think that's going to be really, really, really funny to watch because
Yeah, I think
bringing in
the
a spending cap after you've had the Wild West is a crazy strategy.
I know. I just think that it sucks they're taking player money away, but the majority of the league is tired of City having players on their bench that get paid 250K a week and not just
Yeah,
one of them, multiple
but
of
they're
them.
still going to have that.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to have to get rid of some of them because that cap is going to be a hard cap. There's not going
Is
to
it
be any
there's a
overspending.
wage cap or is it just a transfer cap? I
And
thought it
it's
was
a
just,
wage cap, it's a salary cap.
oh, we have an actual
It's
salary
five times
cap.
the amount of TV value of the 20th place team.
Right.
Or I guess it would be the team that wins the championship playoff. So
Okay.
they get the lowest payout of any
Right.
Premier League TV team.
That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, but that's a year away. Not going to be next season. So
Yeah.
we don't have to worry about that now.
So you're going to go look at a striker. Assuming that happens, are you really what are you looking for? If you had a if you I know you love Alexander Isak. I know. But if you had an ideal option, do you really want to go for someone that is that young and is going to be expecting to start week in, week out when you have a guy like Havertz?
I think you go for the Bologna kid, Sir Kiki,
Xerxy.
Xerxes. He's young. He doesn't have to play every week. I do think about 4 months ago that Arsenal's that, like, I mean, obviously they're still going to try and get Isak, and I'm sure it won't work out. But I mean, I think a month ago, you're thinking of Gyökeres or even potentially Osimhen spending the
Yeah.
money and just doing it. But with the way Havertz has been playing, I don't think that is necessary at the moment.
Okay. I'm wary of that. I'm fearful of that. Because my
Still
whole
have to get a
thing.
striker, obviously, but
Yeah,
like
my
I just
whole.
don't
Yeah.
think you need to get a 25, 26-year-old proven Premier League goal scorer for £100 million
Yeah.
with the way Kai Havertz is playing, especially considering the club need a midfielder. And ever since the Enzo deal, elite sixes and eights, I mean, minimum 90 million these days. So I think a younger attacker is on the cards, but I do think they'll still go for Isak first.
Okay, final question. Thomas Partey's playing the way he plays. You kind of just answered it for me. You still going to get someone in that position?
You have to. I mean, he
Yeah,
just
he's too
cannot
injured.
stay
Yeah,
fit. Hasn't been able to stay fit his entire Arsenal career. So,
Okay. And then William Saliba, what are you going to do when he goes to Real Madrid?
wish him well. I will never get pissed at a player for leaving for Real Madrid
Yeah, no,
or Barcelona for that matter.
you can't.
No, I mean, it's the peak of the sport. Anyone who says it
Right.
isn't is lying to you. Maybe, I mean, Manchester United in the heyday was up there
Yeah.
with those two, but
No,
like,
no child ever cried about Ruud van Nistelrooy going to Real Madrid. No one did that.
right. I mean, that's all you have to look at. And it's just like, if any of these guys go to Real Madrid, thank you for your service. Have fun playing for the biggest club in the world.
I cried, by the way. That was me. If you were curious, I was the one that cried when Ruud van Nistelrooy went to Real Madrid. As a child, I was so sad. I loved Ruud van Nistelrooy. Love Ruud van Nistelrooy.
We did a lot of good things before he left.
Yep. And then him and Ronaldo started bitching at each other, and they were like, okay,
Yeah, we'll take
Cristiano Ronaldo's.
yeah, well, this guy
No one
looks like
knew
he
at the
might
time,
be
to
one
be
of the best
fair.
players ever.
Yeah, no one knew that, I feel like, at the time, to be fair. But yes, it did happen. Okay. Well, that's North London Derby. Kind of got tangented off there, but it doesn't matter. Arsenal are top of the league, 80 points, 1 point clear of City, who obviously have that terrifying game in hand. Meanwhile, Spurs are in fifth, 60 points. They are 7 points off top four after today's action against Chelsea. They are throwing it away in typical fashion.
What do we say? There was no way in hell they were taking 6 points from those two makeup games.
Nope.
And I think I predicted four. Can't get there now, we'll finish with that one.
Okay. Next game up, West Ham 2, Liverpool 2. If Liverpool fans were thinking our title race isn't over quite yet, it really, really, really is now. This was a game that happened. They looked horrible in the first half.
Yeah, why is no one talking about them throwing this league away? Because they have thrown up all over themselves, the same as Arsenal did last season. Like, I mean, yes, I do think they got screwed. I think Anthony Taylor took common sense too far in this instance. I mean, he played advantage like 15 seconds before he blew the whistle. It was a massive just brain freeze by Alphonse Areola. I have no clue why he put the ball down and decided to fix his shin pads. So I feel them. I don't think a win would have mattered. I don't think City are going to or Arsenal are going to drop enough points for two extra points to matter really. But I mean, just a terrible first half performance. You got Klopp and Mo fighting before he comes on. You got Salah yelling at the reporters, "If I speak, it'll be fire," or something
Yeah,
like.
what kind of weird ass quote was that? What kind of
I
like
have no
drama
idea.
series fantasy land are you living in? That's the weirdest quote ever.
I think the tension is running high because none of them wanted the end of the season to go this way. They wanted to send Klopp out with a Europa League, with a Carabao Cup, and a Premier League title. And ever since the United lost in the FA Cup, they've just been poor. I mean,
That's
poor
right.
week in, week out. They've won a couple games, but I mean, they've just been really, really poor. And you got to give credit to West Ham, but West Ham are technically playing for Europe. They're probably not going to get it, but they're technically playing for it. But they've been god awful these last few weeks. All the rumors swirling about Moyes leaving, which it looks like is going to happen. And then Liverpool come out and just suck.
Yeah, I mean, they were
Like,
bad. They were just like the first half, it looked like they weren't there. And the thing is, West Ham didn't play that great either. They get a goal off a corner, and somehow it's Jared Bowen getting a goal there. Like, how? How are you letting that happen?
I have no idea.
It's insanity.
One of the shortest guys on the pitch.
Yeah. Jared Bowen, known for his leap. Like, no one has ever said that.
Right. I don't understand how they're conceding some of the goals they're conceding. Like,
Neither do I. And I think Jace is right. The tensions are running high. Salah doing what he did, I think, is just the most obvious peace out, see you later. That Saudi Arabian check's looking mighty nice right now. It's been a nice ride.
the rumors are that he's staying.
There is no way.
I don't know if the Saudis are interested in paying what they wanted to pay, what they offered last summer.
They'll still offer a bag.
Oh yeah, they'll still offer him at least 100 million pounds. I mean,
Yeah.
I said it a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of flip back and forth on it, whether I think they'd be better off selling him and investing in talented youth, in midfield, in the back, and in attack, but I don't know. Maybe they would be better off with him just as some stability with a new manager. But I mean, there's no doubting that he's been terrible at the end of the season. I've seen way too many overreactions to this. Like, Mo Salah was never that good, blah, blah, blah. Mo
Yeah,
Salah
wait,
doesn't
whoa,
know how to,
whoa.
like, finish
Whoa.
the league. Like,
Pump
he's
the
had a bad
brakes.
month and a half. He's had a bad 2 months. He's still one of the best wingers to ever play in this league. Like, come on, stop it with the overreactions. He's Mo freaking Salah. He almost got elected president of Egypt because he's so freaking good. Like, I mean, so I don't know. I'm just not sure what to think about the end of this season. It's just an awful way for Klopp to go out, and I'm not complaining, but I mean, it's just week in, week out, poor performances. The league is just completely gone. It was already, but I mean, 5 points back of Arsenal, 4 points back of City with who have a game in hand. Like, they're just not going to make that up in three games. So,
No. And while Jay says he's not, I'm laughing at Jurgen Klopp. I'm laughing at Liverpool. I want that note. And for anyone that says, well, your team sucks, I know. I know that too. You can't hurt me. That's the best part about this whole thing. We started your little domino effect, and look at where you are now. You've got
United really
Salah.
did start it.
Yeah, we did. We
And I
did.
think they could have bounced back if they had won that league game too. I think that could have reignited them,
Yeah, no,
making
that
up for the
killed them.
defeat, but then they draw that one too after just missing absurd chances. So that's really been the story of them in this last month. They just cannot finish. I mean, they had like 28 shots in this game
Do
and
you
get two
see
goals.
the Darwin Nunez comp of him at Benfica that was going viral this week? And they're like, where's this player? Where's this player? He's there. That's the same guy. If you watch his full games, you know what he is. Like the games against Bar, just go watch the game against Barcelona at Benfica. He misses like a lot of chances, but he is just crazy energy. So I
Yeah,
don't
that
know where this.
slot's number one priority needs to be injecting confidence in Nunez, similar to what Mikel did with Havertz. Like, constant positive reinforcement. Because if they could get this guy scoring goals, he'll score 20 in a season easily. He just can't finish.
Yeah, he can't. Right now, he can't. And I think a lot of finishing is down to confidence a lot of the times. If you're confident that you're going to put the ball in the back of the net, you're going to put the ball in the back of the net. If you're sitting there thinking, eh, I've pulled it wide a couple times, let me change how I'm trying to do my stuff, you get into a position Darwin Nunez is in. Okay. As Jay said, City, or excuse me, Liverpool are in third, 4 points back of City, 5 points back of Arsenal. Meanwhile, I forgot who I was talking about again. Dang it.
West Ham,
Once an
West Ham.
episode, once an episode. Thank you, Jace. In ninth, West Ham, 49 points, 2 points back of Chelsea, 1 point clear of Eden Areola's Bournemouth. Eden Areola's Bournemouth. City 2, Forest 0. This wasn't the best performance from City, but Kevin De Bruyne again, a Kevin De Bruyne.
This was the game. This was the freaking game. God damn, freaking Chris Wood, man.
Comes back to bite us.
Yep, from 2012, he had about 20 tweets in a row, just obsessing over Manchester City. So he's one of those fans that became a fan as soon as they got bought by Abu Dhabi, naturally. But he missed a hat trick of chances. And I mean, chances, big, huge, massive chances. With so much time, so much space, just it was so awful. Nuno set them up so well. The pace was just perfect. They were getting opportunities, but they just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. And then Nuno did something inexplicable. Nico Williams pulls his hamstring, clearly can't continue, and Nuno chooses to let the City take the corner instead of making a substitution. When you look back at the first corner City had, guess who was guarding Yasko Vardiol?
Hold
Nico.
on. Let me guess. Let me guess.
Yeah. And so Nuno decides to defend the corner with 10 men. Gibbs White is switched on to Vardiol. That's a matchup Vardiol is going to win every single time. Gibbs White loses him immediately. Easy header for a guy of his quality. We were right. I don't really think anyone thought that he wasn't going to work out, but these last few months,
Dude, there
Vardiol
were.
has been incredible and is probably going to be the left back in the team of the season. So
I thought you were talking about Gibbs White. Yep,
No,
Vardiol.
yeah, Gibbs White has always been awesome, but
I think people, when he got signed, there were people that were like, he's not worth that. He's not going to live up to that price tag. He's lived up to the price tag, brother. He's about to keep him in the league 2 years in a row if everything goes the way they want to. And Yasko Vardiol, we always cover our asses, people. Whenever you hear us have a strong take, unless it is Darwin Nunez, I had a bad one about Beto, where I said he's just not Premier League quality, which it still holds. Vardiol, we always said he's not playing well, but he's going to end up being fine. This system is just not what he's been playing. Now he's figured it out and he's banging goals in. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's two games in a row for him, with a goal. But yeah, I mean, this was the one that they could have dropped points in, and they don't. Holland comes off the bench, scores another mistake by Nuno. Murillo was clearly hurt, asked to be substituted. Nuno told him no. He ends up one-on-one with Holland. You know how that goes. Then he asked to be substituted again after the goal. Nuno again told him no, and Murillo just had to sit down. He was like, "I cannot play. Take me out of the freaking game, dude. What is wrong with you?" So, as well as I think Nuno did, he set them up perfectly. Again, Chris Wood should have scored a hat trick and didn't. Murillo had one from 2 yards away that he somehow hit over the bar and landed on top of the goal. Literally no clue how that didn't go in. But he had two massive mental errors, Nuno did, and that's when they conceded the two goals.
Yep, not a surprise. Oleana's really fast. Did you see
Yeah.
his dude? That was crazy. That run he went on down that left side. That man is fast. Yeah, credit to Nuno. He set him up well. Listen, I'm not the biggest Nuno fan. I liked him at his beginning part of Wolves. I'm not his biggest fan, but he has done well at Forest. I wasn't a fan of them sacking Steve Cooper. He has done well at Forest, looking like he's going to keep him up. This game, you don't go into it expecting much. You expect absolutely nothing, but it is what it
I
is.
mean, you can't play like that and drop points at this point of the season, though. Like, one win for Luton or Burnley, and you're getting relegated.
Yeah,
Like, I
we'll
know
get into
it's still,
Burnley
it's
here in a
obviously
minute.
still in their hands. Like, they get more points than the others, or they all lose out. They're up. But I don't know. If this team gets pressure put on them from Burnley or Luton, I think they might go down. And I don't know how they afford going down, considering what they've spent. So.
They sell the team. The owner sells the team. That's like the
Yeah,
only,
like,
that might be the only option.
yeah, he was not pleased, that's for sure.
Well, too bad. I swear I had something else to say on that game, and I'll probably remember it like 3 games from now. So when we tangent off to City, when that happens, just know this is why. City are in second, 1 point back of Arsenal, 1 game in hand on Arsenal, as I've said. Meanwhile, Forest are in 17th, 26 points, 1 point clear of Luton, 9 points back of who, Jace? Oh, never mind. Jace is taking a break. Who are they 9 points back of? Who are Nottingham Forest 9 points back of?
Palace?
No, Brentford.
Dang.
It's credit that you didn't say Everton, though. Everton are 10 points clear of Nottingham Forest right now. Credit to Sean Dyche, man. Credit to Sean Dyche. Okay. Jace is taking. Oh, Jace is back. Nice. Sick. We can get into Burnley, who Jace just kind of mentioned. We'll get into that game. United won, Burnley won. We don't need to talk about United. Missed some chances. It was the same kind of stuff. Burnley had their chances as well. Couple penalty calls. I really just don't like talking about United that much. It is what it is. We're going to talk about some stuff here at the end from the Athletic report that came out today. Antony, a good goal. I don't know how he scored in the posture he was kicking that ball with. Looked like he was extending his spine almost. But well done. Good for him to get a goal. Does that change my opinion on him at all? Absolutely not. Garnacho, I think that's a pen. I think there were two penalty calls that should have been called penalties and would have on any other day, but they weren't. So that's my take from this game. Credit to Burnley, though. They came there and they did what they were supposed to do. Vincent Kompany had them set up well.
Huge, huge point. After all of, yeah, I agree with you on the United. We've talked about what we talked about. I agree on the calls. Unfortunate, but this league, the refs are so crap and so inconsistent. You have no idea what
Like,
you're going to get. But
I don't have anything to complain about at this point about
yeah.
like, oh, if we won this game, they're taking something away from it. Like, it is what it is. I know the refs have been bad against us
Yeah.
this year.
But I mean, Burnley were dead, and buried a month ago, and somehow they fought their way back into it. And all of a sudden,
Yeah.
now are a win away from getting out of the relegation zone. They have no chance with their goal difference, pretty much. They've gotten hammered too many times. But I mean, the way Forest are playing,
Oh my
the way
gosh,
Luton
Sheffield
are playing,
United's goal difference. Holy hell.
I think they've conceded the most goals in league history.
Oh my gosh. Sorry to interrupt you there. I was looking to see with you mentioning Burnley's goal difference. I'm like, oh, I haven't looked at that in a minute. Burnley have negative 32 goal difference. Not great. Just objectively, not great. Sheffield United have a negative 63 goal difference.
Yeah. No, they're one of the worst
Dude.
teams in league history. Sheffield United are. They
Oh
weren't
my
ready to come up
gosh.
and they didn't spend enough money and they got hammered. They lost too much.
Okay, continue with your
But
point. Sorry.
anyway, but
Apologies.
yeah, big point for Burnley. They're still in it. Keeping them up, I would classify it as a great escape if they somehow managed to stay up. At this point, just considering how bad they've been for three quarters of the season, pretty much. So this is a massive point at Old Trafford. It is what it is for United. I mean, still in a Europa League spot. It's still in your hands in terms of Europa League. So yeah, just more so than anything in this game, huge, huge, huge point for Burnley.
Do you know who they play on the last day, Jace?
Burnley?
Yeah.
No.
Take a guess.
Forest? Luton?
Forest on the last
Oh,
day
yes.
at Burnley.
Yes.
We could see a
Yes.
field storming, ladies and gentlemen. So,
That could
call the
be
banners,
freaking
get the sirens
awesome.
going. We could see a field storming if Burnley
Yeah.
stay up, because I don't know who would have buried these guys. JJ Watt, Vinny Kompany, nobody buries these guys. Nobody.
Except us.
Except us.
I
Except
still don't think they
us.
survive, but
They
credit
also,
to them for getting themselves in a position where it's actually realistic.
they,
Somewhat realistic.
while I say they have Forest in a six-pointer on the last day, they also have to play Newcastle at home and Spurs, who are going to be pissed off at whatever new White or new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, whatever they call their stadium.
Yeah, that's tough. That
Yeah.
is tough. They're going to need some help from the other two.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hold on. I want to go through the rest. Since we just did Forest, I want to give you the three games left for Forest, Burnley, and Luton. Okay? And then I want you to decide. Sheffield United for Forest next game, then Chelsea at home, Sheffield United away. I don't really think it matters, but Sheffield United away. Forest at home to Chelsea, and then away to Burnley, final game of the season. That's Forest. Your thoughts?
Advantage them.
Advantage them at this moment. Luton. Everton at home, who are safe. West Ham away depends on. I really think that game, how I feel about that game, depends on what happens this weekend with West Ham. If they lose, I think you could maybe get into a give up territory. But it might be David Moyes' last game at home, so don't, maybe not. And then Fulham on at home. So Everton at home, West Ham away, and Fulham at home for Luton.
Yeah, I mean, and then Burnley's, you already said that one is Burnley's is clearly way more brutal than the other two.
Yes.
I mean, I would say advantage Forest. Chelsea, you never know what you're going to get. They've been better as of late, but they also got hammered 5-0 a week and a half ago. So
Who did that to him?
no clue. Couldn't have been Arsenal or anything.
No, no way.
But yeah, I think Forest will end up staying up because, yeah, that schedule is favorable for them.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Oh, the Athletic report came out today, that United. This is a credible source now, so we've got to. I feel like we need to talk about this. That United are at this moment in time not going to move on from Erik ten Hag. They think that the options available in this current manager market are not worth firing him. I swear from October, someone has been telling you this. I don't remember who.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Like, Tuchel is the only proven option
Yeah.
out there. There's literally no one else. So
And I think
I
Tuchel's
think
a roll of
that's
the
the right
dice.
decision. I think that's definitely the right decision. I think this summer, the overhaul finally has to happen. You've got to get rid of some of these players that have been around too long. If they don't, he'll be sacked in October. Like,
Yes,
it's as
because
simple as that.
the results won't be there with the squad given.
Right. And they'll spend money in the summer and they'll be like, why isn't it working? And he'll be like, because these five, seven players that have been here for half a decade and sucked under five different managers are still here. I told you we needed to clear out and I didn't get to clear out. So I think this is finally the summer where United aren't worried about the fee. And they're just like, we'll take whatever you're willing to offer. We just need to get these guys off the books.
So I the only thing I asked from people asking for Ten Hag's job towards the early part of the season and then even into the second half of the season, name me a better option. And it never got named. I heard Zidane. Yeah, right. We've
How many
heard all
times
of
do we
them.
have to say he's Zinedine freaking Zidane? He doesn't need a job.
No.
Takes a job if he wants it, not because he needs it.
Jeez. He doesn't speak English.
Yeah, huge problem.
Feel like that might be a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
Okay, all right, we're done. We're done. I'm not doing this. United earned 6, 54 points, 6 points back of Spurs, hilariously. 6 points back of Spurs. How Spurs have allowed that to happen is
They're throwing this away.
throwing it away. 13 points back of Villa and 1 point clear of Newcastle, 3 points clear of Chelsea. Okay.
Chelsea might sneak in.
Yeah, they might. I don't really
They
care.
might get conference.
That's fine. That would be so embarrassing. You realize how embarrassing it would be for Enzo to go play Conference League?
Yeah,
That would be
but I mean,
so bad.
it's not what competition you're in, it's the money that you get for it.
No, and that's fair, but they still have to
Yeah.
play in it next year. Like, I don't
True.
want, if we don't get, I don't
I mean,
want
some of those
Europa.
teams Villa were playing in the group stage, like I'd never even heard of them.
Yeah, no. And I don't want, I really don't want Conference League because I think it's an embarrassing thing if a really big club,
Yeah.
like
Like
one of the
Europa
big
League's
six.
not that big of a deal. We're both very experienced in the Europa League. We've been in it plenty of times. Like it's not the end of the world, but God, Conference League, man.
Bad.
It's
Like,
also the
it's
fact that it's
embarrassing.
this next season will be like the third year of the Conference League. Like it's just so fresh and like
Yeah, and I don't want that.
new, and it's just weird.
If we go out, it's very embarrassing. If we win it, it's as embarrassing
Right. Like Villa
almost.
today got hammered 4-2 by
Yeah.
Olympiacos at home.
Yes.
Like
Yeah.
that's embarrassing. Now they got to go to freaking Greece.
Yeah. And can you imagine if we won it, having to do a little title thing and lift up the trophy? It's the Conference League.
Yeah. That's why like the West Ham fans love to flex their conference league. I'm like, dude,
That's
that's
fine.
awesome. Like glad y'all won. That's great. But like I don't care all that much. And it's also West Ham, so like fair flex for them, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. When it's United or Chelsea lifting up the Conference League, who've lifted up multiple Champions League trophies, it doesn't hit the same.
I would agree.
Okay. Villa 2, Chelsea 2. Speaking of Villa and Chelsea, they drew last weekend. Questionable refereeing yet again. Am I surprised?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Nope. We are not surprised at all. The shove in the back. Look, they didn't call the Gabriel one in the Newcastle game. And then they call this when all we want is freaking consistency. Don't call it. He pushes him in the back. Yes. I mean, I don't think it was a big enough error for VAR to get involved
I don't
personally.
either. That's
It
my
was a
opinion on
great,
it.
great fight back from Chelsea, which we haven't seen. I mean, I said earlier, we learned about them. They can't get punched in the mouth. Well, they got punched in the mouth this game. Cucurella scores an own goal 4 minutes in. Morgan Rodgers makes it too. Hell of a signing, Morgan
Yeah, he
Rodgers, by
is.
the way.
Yeah, he's a
God,
beast.
him and Adam Wharton have taken the league by storm. And
Yeah,
I don't mean
someone's
that
gonna
they're
get.
like the best players ever, but at their age, to do what they do, step straight in to the first 11s for these two teams is just so impressive. But
Someone's gonna get Jacob Ramsey, by the way, I think. I think
yeah, I think they're going
that's.
to have to sell him.
Yeah, and someone's gonna get him that might not be that notable. Like, if I were Palace and we lose Eze this summer, I would immediately be on the phone with Villa.
Yeah, West Ham should be looking at him too. But
West Ham as well, yeah.
yeah, anyway, then Madueke scores. And Conor Gallagher said it before, and it was the same in the Spurs game. Conor Gallagher actually cares so much, and you can just tell. Like you can just tell how much he cares, how hard he works for his team. And I'm starting to turn a corner on Conor Gallagher. I'm starting to really like him. And a team of a bunch of prima donna losers,
They
he is the
are.
one that has stepped up along with Cole Palmer, obviously.
Right.
But he is the one who stepped up and tried to assert some control over this team, some leadership over this team, and got to give him credit for that. If Chelsea let him go this summer, they're freaking idiots. I know he's homegrown. I know he may not be the most talented, the most skilled, the best player. He's not, and we've said it before, we don't know if he's quality at Chelsea. They can't afford to lose a guy like this right now and Thiago Silva in the same summer. They're two
Nah.
leaders. Like they can't lose these guys.
No. He had a freaking tifo going today.
Yeah,
They had a big
they don't want the
poster thing
fans
for
do
him.
not want him gone, and
No.
there is nothing wrong with signing him to a new contract and selling him in a couple of years when you've outgrown him. But right now they cannot let him go, in my opinion.
I don't think they
So,
can either. In my
yeah.
opinion, I think it's very similar to yours. Mine was always he's the only one that's trying in that team at times. Obviously outside of Cole Palmer, he's the only one trying in that side. And when you're in this position, and Chelsea aren't really used to this that much because the fans that are used to this type of stuff are from like the 90s even, and even before that a little bit, the
Pre-Roman era.
pre-Abraham, yeah, pre-Roman. And even before Roman, I feel like they started to kind of climb up there, but you don't understand how much mentality matters when you're just falling, when you've recently fallen from grace. Trust me, I lived through it. I just wanted the best players. I thought every transfer was going to work that we had right after when Van Gaal was there, when Mourinho was there. I thought it was great. You don't understand what you're letting go with some of these mentality guys. And you need them. You need them because, especially in this Chelsea side, especially in those United sides, you have to have that winner's mentality. And if you let those guys go and you just kind of say, well, they're not quality enough, you get into trouble.
Yeah, and he wills him back into this game, and obviously scores the equalizer himself. So great job for Chelsea to fight back. Villa, it's disappointing to draw in the top four race, but considering the week Spurs had, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they had a point this week. Spurs played an extra game than them and have zero. So it's not the end of the world, but I've been impressed a bit with Chelsea after the Arsenal game. I think they've been better. They've showed some mentality, and I don't think there's a chance they're getting rid of Poch now, because one, they need some sort of consistency at the manager position, or it's literally never going to work with these players. So
I think recently they're beating the teams they should beat. And this is really recently. They're beating the teams they should beat. They're drawing or losing to the teams they should draw or lose to. And there's anomalies in there. Like they drew to Sheffield United at Sheffield United. They drew to Burnley. But they've beaten Newcastle. That's a good win. They've beaten United at home. They smacked the crap out of Everton. This is a good point away to Villa. This is a great point away to Villa
great
and
point.
really could have won it coming back from 2-0 down. And then what happens today against Spurs. So I'm right there with you. I think he's kept himself in the job for another year. There's still a huge overhaul needed because you're still going to be as
Absolutely.
inconsistent if you just think that these same guys are going to replicate something next summer or next, excuse me, next season.
No, just to go back to what Robbie Girl said. Fingers crossed, players.
Social media players.
Some of them, yeah.
Jeez. Unbelievable. Okay. Chelsea are in eighth. And see what Jace is saying kind of plays in the table. They were in 11th like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Eighth, 51 points, 2 points off Newcastle, 3 points off United, and 2 points clear of ninth placed West Ham. They have a game in hand on West Ham. United and Newcastle still have their games in hand to play. Okay, the rest of these games should be pretty straightforward. I didn't miss anything there, Jace. No. All right, rest of these games should be pretty straightforward. Fulham won, Palace won. These two teams really don't have a whole lot to play for. But I think both of these teams are going to be tough next season.
I would agree. Schlupp scored an absolute rocket. I mean, just a fantastic goal from him. Muniz found his goal scoring form again. But yeah, I'm not going to spend as much time on these games towards the business end of the season. These teams are already thinking about next season, who they're going to lose, who they're going to sign. Like,
Cancun.
yeah, they've both got their long-term managers. So, I mean, yeah, it was an entertaining 1-1, but I mean, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter except for table position, which neither of them are fighting for Europe. So,
No, and Palace clearly got a day off because Oliver Glasner was spotted at the Philadelphia 76ers game in the playoffs the day after this. This
yeah,
kind of.
apparently Josh Harris is a part owner of Palace.
Yeah, he is.
So
I mean, I don't have any problem
he
with
was
it.
probably asking for stacks of money.
Hell yeah, go take free freaking courtside tickets. I don't care.
Yeah, I've seen Mikel at a Colorado Avalanche game, probably begging Lord Kroenke for money.
Oh, I wonder if he was at the Avs game I was at, where I got on the Jumbotron twice. No big deal.
I don't know, it was last summer.
I might have been there. I was there last summer.
Huh, maybe you were both there. Wish
Me
you
and
could have gotten
Mikel
his
Arteta.
autograph for me. By
Oh.
him, I mean, of course, I mean Lord Kroenke.
Yeah, not Mikel's. Yeah, no. Oh, okay. Yeah. Glasner was at a 76ers game. That's all I've got on this game. I watched the highlights. They were very nothing. Fulham were decent. Muniz, I'm
Again, we're
happy
at the
for.
business end of the season. A lot of these teams are just comfortable mid-table thinking about recruitment for next season.
I
Like,
can't, I try to extend it and I just need to stop. We're
yeah.
Palace are in third or in 14th, 40 points, 3 points back of Fulham, who are in 13th, who are 1 point back of Brighton, who have just shipped it in. We're about to talk about them, and it'll be quick, but we are about to talk about them. Bournemouth 3, Brighton 0. These guys have shipped it in.
They have. The injuries have been killer this season, but you Deserby's got to take some credit for how bad this team has been this season. Like, again, I know that the injuries have been bad, but damn, they have really, really underperformed. They're doing their usual thing. They're dominating possession, but they're getting absolutely torched in terms of actual chances. And Antonio Raiola's Bournemouth just blew through them. I mean, just absolutely destroyed them. Like, credit, full
How
credit to Bournemouth. Like, but
long do you think it is before he starts getting linked with big jobs?
I don't know. I think he'll have to start well next season,
I think
but or
I don't
do
think
well
there's
next
any
season.
stopping this thing he's got going.
Yeah, he's
Because
got
I
a
don't
great
think
style.
no one's going, no one's sniffing around for Solanke, astonishingly to me. No one's really sniffing around for Semenyo, who would be another one that I would look at. And they're going to keep that core and just add on top of it. You probably need to go get a right back. You probably need to get maybe one, I would say a creative midfielder and probably a more consistent number six. And when you get those two or three players, you're a really good side, like a really good side. And you have a really good manager. So I don't think that's going to, I don't think they're stopping. I think it's just going to keep on going.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think the Premier League has ever had a crop of managers this good.
No, dude.
I mean, it's insane.
It's
Like, Eddie
actually
Glasner,
insanity.
he's unbelievable. Iraola, fantastic. Marco Silva, fantastic. Gary O'Neill, fantastic. Like, I mean, these teams
Sean
that are in,
Dyche.
Sean Dyche, these teams that are in the bottom half of the table, like, I mean, they've got incredible managers. Like, it's really just. It's great to see. I know the Premier League has a lot of money, and that kind of has something to do with it, but I mean, just fantastic.
Outside of the bottom four, who's the worst manager in the league, Jace?
Outside of the bottom four,
So outside of Sheffield United, Burnley,
United,
Luton, and
yeah.
Forest. It's a very difficult question.
That's
And you
really
can't say
hard.
David Moyes because one, I wouldn't accept that answer. I don't think he's the worst out of the any of them, but he's also leaving.
I mean, this is a
Dude.
wild one, but maybe Eddie Howe. But like, I don't
Maybe,
really
but
think that's
like
right either.
no, I don't think that's right
And like,
either.
you could say Sean Dyche, but look at what Sean Dyche has done with Everton. He's
Yeah.
somehow brought stability on the pitch to that team that just has all sort of problems. And if you want to move into Everton, we can talk about really the main story of Everton.
Yeah, Everton 1-0 against Brentford. I did it again, people. Thank you.
Of the weekend, 777 may not be purchasing
Yeah,
Everton. If
devastation
that
for this
doesn't
podcast.
happen, there's a chance they go into administration,
Yeah. And
which would be ridiculous. How the billionaires, the American billionaires, the Middle East millionaire billionaires aren't looking at Everton. Everton aren't Liverpool. They're not the biggest team in their city. They've got an extremely loyal fan base. They have
yep.
fans all over the globe. Like, I just have no clue. I know 777 are Americans, but like, how are dude, I mean, like, if I'm Sheikh Jassim, I'm buying Everton.
This is one of those things where the conspiracy theorists that think Sheikh Jassim doesn't exist, if he doesn't go in for Everton, I might start believing those.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. How, like, I really don't get how Everton aren't just as attractive as pretty much any other club to buy.
I don't
One, they're
either.
not as expensive because Farah Mashiri is a freaking moron. And, like, I mean, they're just begging to have investment because they've got
Yeah.
a very, very loyal fan base, a Riverside or an Oceanside, whatever it is, Riverside stadium being built that looks freaking awesome
It does look
and part of the
sick.
reason why they're in massive debt.
Nobody look at
But
this
I mean,
stadium we're
just
building.
we're talking about people where money, especially the Middle Eastern billionaires, we're talking about people where money isn't a thing. Like,
No.
they can pay off this debt in one check.
Yeah. And it won't
So.
be, they won't feel any financial repercussions from said check.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, and like, I don't know. It was about a year ago we said They need to keep Sean Dyche for a year or two and bring stability to the club. Well, he's done his part. He
Yeah.
has done his part. 3 straight years are in a relegation battle. They've been absolutely hosed by the Premier League this season with points deductions, and Dyche saves them again.
Yep.
So he's done his job. He's brought the stability to the actual team. But behind the scenes, the club is just an absolute mess. And
Yeah, it is.
like, this game is great. They won. They're safe. But again, it's another one of those where there are bigger things to talk about than this game at this point of the season.
How did when did the 777 news break that they might not be able to get it?
Like 2 days ago.
Okay, did you, I
Yeah.
found out because one of our friends is a financial in finance, his career's in finance, sent me a picture of his financial newsletter that he gets every morning that he reads. What a nerd, by the way. And it, one of the headlines was 777 may not be able to take over Everton or reach an impasse on taking over Everton.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, you're actually breaking news to me right now. So,
It
interesting.
didn't
We'll
get
see how it
enough. It
goes.
didn't get enough attention, but they've hired lawyers, like insolventary lawyers, something like that.
Okay. I know what that is.
Which just
Yeah.
sounds like bankruptcy lawyers.
Yes. Yep, that
So,
does.
I mean, yeah, if they go into administration, that's an automatic, I think.
You're all the way down.
Want to say it's 20-point deduction.
Yeah, they're done.
I'm not positive what it, but it's a double-digit point deduction automatically. The second you go into administration, it happened to Derby.
Yeah, they just need to. Would they start out with negative 20 next year? Ipswich are going to start off with like negative 10 or something like that. Dude, some of these teams coming up are going to get punished. They're starting off with negative points.
Yeah. Shall we go to the Sheffield United game and talk about who's going to replace them?
Yes.
Since that's really the biggest thing from that game.
Newcastle 5, Sheffield United 1. Sheffield United are officially dead.
Yep, they've been relegated. Leicester have won the championship. Congratulations to them. Congrats to Jamie Vardy. He has won an FA Cup, a Premier League, and been promoted twice with Leicester. I think he's kind of a English legend.
Yeah, dude, he's won a
I'm
bunch
not
of Gold
saying he's one
Boots,
of
too.
the best players to ever play in the league. I'm not saying he's Alan Shearer or Thierry Henry or whatever, but I mean, to do what he's done with Leicester, to stay loyal to Leicester, Arsenal offered him a ton of money the year after they won the league, and he said no. Like, so, I mean, just freaking hats off to him. Hats off to Leicester for dealing with everything they've dealt with. They got a City assistant manager. It worked out really well. And they have a chance this weekend to be Centurions as well. So, congratulations to them on coming back up. They'll probably get a points deduction. Because of their spending last season. But in terms of this game, yeah, Newcastle beat the ever living crap out of them as expected. Not much to say here. Sheffield United got relegated. Newcastle destroyed them.
To correct myself, Jamie Vardy only won Golden Boot 1 year, 2019-20. He was also the player of the season in 2015-16 when they won the league. He was in the PFA Team of the Year in 2015-16 and 2019-2020. I would agree, he is an English legend. He is a Premier League legend.
And it's about who he did it with too and how loyal he stayed as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And just
Completely.
signed a new 1 year deal. So he will be back in the Premier League with Leicester next year.
Yeah. And Leicester are one of the teams you said that are probably going to get punished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
They're,
think they're going to get a deduction.
yeah. This is so dumb. We just need the salary
Oh,
cap
it's
now.
insanely dumb.
It's so dumb.
I
So
mean,
dumb.
Chelsea have spent over $1 billion.
No, nothing done.
Nothing.
Nothing
They're
done.
punishing a team that spent the year in the championship. Like, I
Yeah,
just,
that's bad. That's bad.
it's nuts.
Okay. I didn't do table update for Everton and Brentford, but I will for Newcastle, Sheffield United. Newcastle are in seventh, 1 point back of United. They've had a quietly good couple months. Meanwhile, Sheffield United are rock bottom. Saw it again. Sorry. Had to laugh. Negative 63 goal difference. 16 points. They are 8 points off of Burnley and 10 points away from safety, which doesn't matter because they're relegated.
Yep,
Jace,
they've
by
got
the
the
way.
little red R next to him now.
Yeah, they do. They have a little red R. We are 3 goals away from 100 conceded. So everybody look out for this weekend. It could be happening.
Yeah, I mean, I seriously, I think it might be the most goals ever conceded in a 38 game Premier League season,
Dude,
but I'm not
100 has
positive
to
on
be.
it.
It has to
Yeah.
be. There's no way there's more. Okay. What next? Wolves 2, Luton 1. Wolves were the better team in this game. Luton tried to make it something late. You really, really, really would have loved a late 2-2, but it is what it is.
Yeah, they needed this one. I guess given Forest's loss, it's not as big of a deal, but they're running it down to the wire. They got to
Yes,
get
running out of
points.
games.
Like they're running out of games. They got three left, and Wolves were better. Gary O'Neill's men are comfortably mid-table, and we'll be continuing on to the Premier League next season. I do agree with you. I think they would love to catch up with Bournemouth for Gary, but the way Bournemouth are playing, I don't see it happening, and nor does it really matter all that much except for personal vendetta.
Yeah, dude, I really want Bournemouth to have a single digit number next to their name. I really want that because we fired this guy. We fired Eden Areola
Yeah.
earlier this season. I want them to do it.
Since November 1st, I know we're going back to Bournemouth now. The Premier League table: Arsenal 56, City 55, Liverpool 52, Aston Villa 46, Bournemouth 42. Since November 1st, they have the fifth most points in the league.
Dude, have West Ham hired a coach yet? No.
No.
I don't know, man. I know it's only been a year, but crazier things have happened. Okay. Is that everyone? That's everyone, right?
That's
Yep.
everyone.
Nice. Good job, Jace. Okay. We're done with our weekend review. Now let's get into some Champions League action. Tuesday, Bayern 2, Real Madrid 2. Bayern were the better side, Real Madrid in Europe. Just do this. They do it every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Real Madrid.
It's Real Madrid.
That's just what they do. Like, this was a really, really fun game. As I alluded to earlier, Clément Turpin just absolutely got all of the big calls spot on. Foul on Vasquez for the Kane penalty. And then a horror game for Kimpembe, foul on him for the Vinicius penalty. It's one of those games for a center back where he played well for like 87 of the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But the two mistakes were just so glaring. When you play defense, that's what happens. Like, I mean, Vinicius just straight up ran a route on him, like football route, like an American football route. Like, just did a little curl and then took off running. Toni Kroos, perfect, perfect pass. Of course, Kroos after the game said that pass wasn't even that good.
Oh,
The man's
dude.
incredible. Thank God he's signing another year at Real Madrid. He is too young to retire. This guy cannot be allowed to retire before he plays in the US in the 2026 World Cup.
No,
It's only
that's going to
30.
be sick. Yeah, he's
Like,
now he's 34.
oh, he's 34.
Yeah, but still 36 isn't that crazy.
No, I mean, Modric is what? Modric is almost 40. He's
Yeah.
38, I think.
Yeah, and he's been doing it for it wasn't like 2 years ago or 3 or 4 years ago you were like Modric, I don't know, man. Might be time to hang him
Yeah.
up. Like you were like, "Oh my gosh, Luka Modric is so good."
Right, exactly. And then the Sané goal. Oh, a lot of people tried to get on Lunin because it was at the near post, but there was so much pace on that ball.
Rocket.
I'm surprised the net didn't catch on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, he smashed it.
I think this is hilariously, I was talking to my dad about this midweek. The German teams that are in this competition and kind of sneaking into Borussia Dortmund here, the German teams will feel like they outplayed the other two sides pretty comfortably. They have a one goal advantage combined going into the second leg. That is horrifying if you're Bayern or if you're Dortmund. I think that if you play well, especially at home, and you leave that second leg away and you've left the door not just open, but wide open, it's peak, specifically Real Madrid. It's peak Real Madrid territory.
It's what they do. I forget. I think Tuchel might have said it, or maybe it was Pep. It was like, this isn't luck that Real Madrid have. It's heritage. It's
Right.
mentality. It's the belief that when you put on the white shirt, that you're going to beat, no matter how you play, you're going to beat everybody
Yeah.
in Europe specifically. Like, and that is what it is. Not the best game for Lucas Vasquez, but like these guys that they have that they can just play that aren't the greatest, but Nacho aren't the greatest players in the world,
Right.
like that you can just call upon, and they have decent games, you know. So impressive stuff from Real Madrid on the road. This Bayern team in Europe are great. Tuchel is so good at the Champions League.
Dude, he's
The
just
man
good
knows what
in.
he's doing. I don't care how well Eric Dier is playing in this system, he's still not good. But
No.
the way Tuchel sets it up, his defenses in Europe is just fantastic, and full credit to him.
Yep, all to play for in the second leg. I do think Madrid move on. I do think PSG move on. So I think both the teams who didn't play that well this week are going to move on. Speaking of, Dortmund won, PSG nil. Someone that did play really well was Jadon Sancho, Jace.
Yeah, he had a great game.
He had like 10 take-ons. Like,
Oh, your mic just messed up. Hold on. Up.
yeah,
Hold on. Try something. Say
yeah.
something. Okay, there you are. You're back. You're back. You're
Sorry,
back.
it unplugged. But anyway, yeah, Jaden played well, had a bunch of take-ons, completed all that. Good stuff. Fulcrum with the goal. PSG weren't great by any means. Mbappe wasn't great by any means. Dembele fluffed a massive, massive
Yeah,
chance,
huge chance.
which was bad. Lucas Hernandez tore his ACL again, which is just absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Tore it at the very beginning of the last World Cup, and then obviously is out for the Euros and a bunch of next season as well now. So that sucks for him. But yeah, I think PSG go through and with the game back in Paris. But man, the yellow wall and Dortmund are just something special. It's fun to watch. I would love for Marco Reus to get a Champions League after everything that he's been through. So
Yeah.
would
He's
not shock
leaving.
me if Dortmund get through if they hold the fort in Paris, but we know how good Mbappe is in the Champions League. I think he'll drag them through just like he almost did in the World Cup final for France.
And just like he did in the last leg against Barcelona.
Right.
So I can't swallow my pride and say Jadon Sancho had a good game. I don't like how he behaved at United. I don't think this was the player that we got at Manchester United that much, but I can say he had a great game. He's in the position to go to a Champions League final right now, which would be hilarious if Dortmund somehow go on the Cinderella run and win it, and Jadon Sancho comes back to Carrington with a Champions League medal.
Yes. Quick question for you,
Oh,
because all these
gosh.
players are involved. Do you think the winner, pending Euros, the winner of this Champions League between Bellingham and Madrid, Kane and Bayern, and Mbappe and PSG, if PSG get through, is now the favorite for the Ballon d'Or?
Ooh, that's a great question. Probably, but we've seen how the Ballon d'Or takes international competitions so highly.
Right, yeah, of course I'm saying pending Euros. Like,
So when Argentina win Copa America, I expect Lionel Messi to win the Ballon d'Or.
be a travesty.
That
He's
would
so good in
be
MLS, but like he's not
disgusting.
playing in Europe.
That would be disgusting.
That would be just absolutely gross. But I do think it's between Kane, Mbappe and Bellingham. I've honestly moved Kane above
I have
Bellingham for
too.
me. I
Bellingham's
think he
cooled off
should.
the
I
last couple
think Kane
months.
should win it. I mean, he's got like 46 goals and 14 assists and
Yeah,
fought
dude.
45 games for Bayern Munich this
He's
season.
insane. If
Like,
they, I think whoever, I do think whoever wins it is in pole position, though. Yes, I agree with that. Okay. And if Dortmund win it, Jadon Sancho's in pole position. How about that for all you Jadon Sancho lovers out there? Okay. Thursday, a game happened, last game to review. Chelsea 2, Tottenham nil. We've already talked about Tottenham and how they essentially didn't show up in this game. Ange was animated on the sidelines, a lot of mates going to his players, and it looked real bad. It was a bad look. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It was a bad look.
yeah, terrible performance. And he said as much after the game. He was, as much as he is kind of annoying or sometimes very annoying, he just handles the press so well. He knows exactly what they want. He wants them to come out there and make some sort of crazy excuse and give them a whole story to write. And he's just like, "We didn't play well. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, it's
Right.
on me. We didn't play well." Of course, there were a few mates in there as well. But Chalobah gets the header. And then Nicholas Jackson, gets a header as well after Cole Palmer smashes a free kick off the crossbar. He is so good.
He's so good.
But anyway, it was a good header from Jackson. He easily could have missed it, put it in the top corner. So good on him. But more than anything with Chelsea, I was impressed with their defense. Spurs ended up with three shots on target, but for the majority of the game, they didn't even have one.
Yeah.
So good defensive game from Chelsea. That's two good games in a week from them, which we really haven't been seeing. I know they're on, what is it now? 11 games, I believe, and they've only lost the one to Arsenal. They've
Yes.
obviously had a
The
bunch of draws in there,
City
but
2 in the FA Cup.
yeah, but that's 11 Premier League games.
Oh, yeah.
They've only lost one game. Of course, they've drawn a few, as I said, but yeah, this was a good win for them. Spurs didn't show up. They've absolutely thrown away top four. It's Villa's to lose.
It is Villa's to lose. I have nothing else to add on that game. Well done to Chelsea. again, we've kind of talked about both Chelsea and Tottenham already and where they're at kind of with this game in the back of our head. So, okay, it's gonna do a weekend preview. We do have a Friday night under the lights game. And it is not as important as we thought it maybe once could be. Luton at home to Everton, Jace.
Yeah, a little bit of sting taken out of this one now that Everton have pulled themselves up away from the relegation zone, but still a huge, huge game for Luton at the Kennel. They have to get something from this one. We said it about the Wolves game, but they literally have to get something from this one. They
They
are
do.
running out of games. They want to stay in the Premier League next season. They need to do something here. I don't know if they'll do it though. They haven't been great as of late, and Everton have. So I think I'm gonna go 1-1.
Okay. Also, we are instituting a new thing that we're trying out for the end of the season that we're going to do probably next season for the whole time, which is your predictions. We're doing a predictions table. So, 1 point for predicting the correct result, 1 point. 3 points if you get the score and the result correct. Obviously, if you got the score correct, you probably got the result correct. And 0 points, obviously, if you don't get anything. So we will keep up with where me and Jace are at. I'm going to go 2-1 Luton. I think they get it done at the Kennel. I think Everton are at a point where they look at the table and say we're 10 points clear.
By the way, Sean Dyche should win Premier League Manager of the Month.
Agreed.
It's him, Mikel, and Pep. And Pep didn't lose a game. Arsenal lost one, but Dyche went 4-1-1 with Everton in the month of April.
Yes, he should get
He
it.
should be Premier League
I
Manager
think
of the
we've
Month.
given enough awards to Pep. Call
Yeah.
me crazy. All right.
Probably worth it.
6:30 game on Saturday. Arsenal at home to Bournemouth. Kind of sneaky. Bournemouth are in a great position right now. They've been playing very good, but Arsenal at the Emirates. Eh, I don't know, Jason.
Gross. I hate this game.
Yeah, I would hate this game if I were you.
It's an early kick.
Yeah.
You're asking the fans to be fully inebriated and loud at 12:30, which the inebriated part is not a problem. They're British. But the atmosphere at 6:30 or at 12:30, it's just a lot harder than if the game's at 8. So, I mean,
I
I
agree.
feel fine. This team's playing well. With the games now a week apart, I don't think, yeah, Arsenal don't have any more midweeks and stuff to worry about. So I think you can play the same 11 that you played. Maybe Martinelli comes in for Trossard. I don't know. But I think you can play the same midfield, the same defense, and Havertz up top, obviously, suck out wide, and then do what you want on left wing. So it's not going to be easy. They can score goals, they can counter. But with Thomas and Rice in there with Gabriel and Saliba, I feel fine.
Yeah, I would too. I was looking to see if Bournemouth have won a road fixture against one of the big six, and because I don't think they have. Oh, fuck. Why do I walk
Buddy.
into this every single time? Why, dude? And I was there. I remember it. It was right after the freaking Chelsea game. It was the game after the Chelsea game. It was Tony Marshall's last game. Back in training, by the way. Yeah, they beat United at United 3-0. Forgot about that one. Give me Arsenal 3-1. Dominic Solanke on the score sheet. Thank you very much. Okay, Jace, prediction?
Nothing.
Abstain. Again.
Abstain. I'm pulling a Chelsea on the salary cap vote.
Oh,
Abstain.
yeah. Yeah. By the way, on that salary cap vote, just to tangent off really quickly, four teams voted against it, right? Four?
No, three. United,
Three.
City, and Aston Villa. And then Chelsea, like their spineless owner, just abstained.
Abstained. Just vote no. We know you want to vote no.
No, they want to vote yes, but he's too embarrassed to do it.
Oh, that would be true because
No, no,
he's.
no. You're right. You're right. They want to vote
Yeah,
no. They want to vote
yeah,
no. I had that
yeah,
backwards.
yeah,
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They want to spend whatever they want.
yeah. I was about to say, you could say that he wanted to vote yes based off the fact that he's effed it so bad with his wage bill that he wants to like be forced to cutting it down, but that was the angle I thought you were going for. Okay. Brentford at home to Fulham. At 9 a.m., these teams have genuinely very little to care about. I think I just keep going with Marco Silva. I'm always going to ride Marco Silva.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Fulham.
I was thinking it. Give it to me, too. 2-1 Fulham. Me and Jace are all in on that one. Burnley at home to Newcastle. Burnley need it. Newcastle kind of need it, too, though.
Yeah, they need it, but we've randomly seen them drop games on the road, even in this decent form that they've been in. I just, I think their firepower is too much. Burnley's tendency to shoot themselves in the foot is too much. I'll go 3-1 Newcastle.
1-1. Another very good point for Burnley. I don't know how. I don't really want to think about Isak at all, to be honest with you, just like even thinking about him, because I think he could have a big weekend against this Burnley defense if they decide to shoot themselves in the foot, as Jace talks about. 1-1 goes completely against any thinking I have, which sometimes works out. Sheffield United at home to Nottingham Forest, a relegated team against a team that needs it to avoid relegation, seems bad.
Forest played like they do against City, they'll win.
Yeah, they
It
will.
just depends if they can keep that up against a team that they're not going to get opportunities really to counterattack against because they're going to be in their shell. So this would not surprise me if Forest blow this. I really don't have much confidence in them keeping themselves up. I think it's more likely that the other two don't do enough and that's how they end up staying up. But I don't know. I'm going to go 1-1. Actually, 2-2.
Okay. 2-0 Forest. Sheffield United, relegated teams. I don't know what the stat is, but if you get relegated early, there's no way you have a good win percentage those final couple games.
I can imagine that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Late game on Saturday, City at home to Wolves. Jace, I will give you some light. Gary O'Neill.
Yeah, Gary can do it, but we've seen it before. Sometimes they just don't do it well against the big clubs. I mean, you go back to the Arsenal game a couple of weeks ago. Arsenal didn't even play that well, but 1-2-0. Like, I think the same exact thing could happen here. I'll go City 2-0. Same as Arsenal game.
They have not won at the Etihad since 2019, but they did win in the Etihad in 2019. So that's pretty good. They do have one there in recent memory. The bad thing is they lost, City lost the reverse fixture, which is never good. I don't like teams in revenge
Nope.
spots.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that. All right. Did you
Please don't do
predict?
the double over them. I
No.
went 2-0.
City?
Yeah.
Okay. 1-1. Give it to me. Give me Gary O'Neill shutting up
Give it to
shop.
me.
Give it to
Yes.
Jace. Yeah, exactly. That was the point. Jace is trying to jinx you. I'm trying to correctly predict you. I think Wolves have a game in them this weekend. I think Gary O'Neill always has a game in them. All right. Sunday. Brighton at home to Villa in the 8 a.m. kick. There's two 8 a.m. kicks in the 10:30. Jace, have Brighton fully shipped it in? And Villa have something to play
Villa
for.
just
This could
care
get
too much.
ugly. Yeah, this could get
Villa
ugly.
care way too much. I'm gonna go 3-0 Villa.
Yeah, 4-1. Yeah, Brighton are not going to have a good end to the year. That's tough. Chelsea at home to West Ham in a 6-pointer, 8-9 game.
Yeah, all of a sudden, this game means a ton.
Yeah.
West Ham win this, they're right back in it. Chelsea win it, they're looking pretty nice for Conference League. So it's a tough one. I'm gonna go 2-2 at the bridge.
Okay. It's a good. I think that's fair. They started winning games back to back, though, now. 2-1 Chelsea. Prove me wrong. I would enjoy it more. Okay. Liverpool at home to Tottenham. In a game that people at one point thought this could be a title predictors, people thought this could be a top four chance for one side, and now neither of them are in play.
Yeah, it just doesn't mean as much anymore. But that
No.
brutal end of the season for Spurs—they got shafted by the schedule makers.
Yeah, they did.
The City game being a makeup, but still,
Yeah.
jeez, to play the top three 3 weeks in a row, just nuts. I think Liverpool win at Anfield. They've been crap lately, but after watching that Spurs performance today, if Liverpool just show up, I think they have it. But, I think Ange can get something out of his guys, and if Liverpool give them the chance, I think they'll beat him. But I'm gonna go 2-1 Liverpool.
It's also a revenge factor for the VAR mess up. So, give me
Yeah,
Liverpool.
dude, I found it so funny that the Spurs fans literally were talking about the Trossard Kulusevski thing all week, and it's like you literally won a game against Liverpool because they drew the lines on the wrong person.
That happened.
Like you got hosed. Like Liverpool literally had the biggest hose job of the season. So, yeah, it is a bit of a revenge game. I think they'll want to beat them. And so I'll go 2-1.
I will go 3-0 Liverpool, 4-0 Liverpool. think Tottenham are in big give up category. All right. And of course, they put United on a Monday night at Selhurst Park. I have said that since this podcast started. I hate Selhurst under the lights. I don't like it, especially on a Monday night. They're not fun.
No, I think back to last season how relieved I was that Arsenal's first game of the year was away to Crystal Palace. But yes,
It
just
was
get it over
Monday
with.
under the lights, too, wasn't
Yeah,
it?
it was. It was Monday under the line. Or it was Friday. It was the first game of the
Friday,
season. But like, yeah, it was just like, yes, get this over with. But yeah, I completely agree with you. It's one of the hardest places to play as a standalone night game. Especially now that they have a very good manager. Gonna have to show up, gonna have to play really well to get something from this game. Because
So,
Palace are just that good at this moment.
yeah, they
But
are.
I think there's going to be some desperation in Manchester United that Palace don't have because of the European situation. So I'm going to go 2-0 Manchester United.
If Bruno plays 3-1, if he doesn't, I have no idea what's going to happen with this game, to be honest with you. So give me 3-1. Anyway, 3-1 United. Somehow we score three goals and somehow we don't concede more than one. Okay. All right. Let's review. Times two done. Preview done. Jace, well done. I've been Dylan.
I've been Jace. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. We will see you guys on Monday. Monday. We will be recording on Sunday this weekend. Okay. Peace.